And here we go. Here we go. On this Monday, it is the 15th day of April 2024, 6 o'clock straight up, which means it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for you to experience Real Talk Memphis. I am your humble host. My name is Chip Washington. Very happy to have you with us on a beautiful day in the city. When I got out of the car, it was 81 degrees. So, you know, it's been an absolutely fantastic day weather-wise. I hope you had a chance to get out and enjoy it at some particular point in time. I'm to understand we are going to see some rain tomorrow, but, you know, first things first. It's been a beautiful day. Wasn't a bad weekend either, by the way. I hope you had a good weekend, had a chance to relax and unwind and get you some rest because, you know, the weekends end in about 20 minutes. So I hope you had somewhere during that 20-minute period, you had a chance to rest. I had some yard work to do and some other things, but, you know, we managed to get through that without too much of an issue. Glad to have you with us for the next hour. We hope you stick around. We have a great show for you lined up this evening. A lot of information we want to impart to you and all of that kind of good stuff. Now, before we get too far into this, how do you get this fine piece of radio broadcasting? Well, I know that's a question that's been on your mind for a while, and so I thought I would answer it for you at the top. Many ways to do that. You can catch us, of course, right now on the radio on 91.7 WYXR. We are broadcasting there. We are also on WYXR, the app, the YXR app. You can catch us there. We're on TuneIn. You can also find us. We are live streaming the show tonight on Facebook Live. And after the show post in the next day or so, you can catch us on YouTube. And in case you didn't know it, we are a podcast. And you can catch us wherever you get your podcast. All right. Good. All hearts and minds clear. Yeah, I think they are. Very, very nice. So anyway, in terms of the guest list this evening. Oh, by the way, should I say happy slash unhappy tax day? This is April 15th. Which means taxes. I see. Lola's booing. I know. I understand all that. I'm just trying to be a responsible broadcaster.
We have a real job.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And so you know. So I'm just wanting to let you know. Now, many people have gotten extensions. That might not be a bad thing. You know, just kind of push them back just a little bit. Give yourself some time to take care of your business. Having said all of that, Vincent C. Perry, who is a financial consultant, will join us in the second half of the show to talk to us about what is new in the world of the IRS and what maybe some things you didn't know about that may have changes that may have occurred. So we'll talk to him a little bit later. At the top here, we'll talk to Ted Townsend. Ted is the president and CEO of the Greater Memphis Chamber. And, of course, business is what the chamber does best. And we'll talk to him about that. And about some of the other issues that they are dealing with down at the Memphis Chamber. I can tell you one thing. You can always tell when there's a sign of progress going on. When you see cranes everywhere and a lot of streets, you have to detour here, to go there. A lot of that's going on downtown. So there's some growth down there. But there are also, you know, some issues that many of us are dealing with in reference to crime and other things. And we're going to find out from Ted kind of, you know, what he would like to see as we move forward. And we will speak with Leslie Taylor and Norman Blake. They actually created a website called Memphis Crime Beat. And many of you may not have heard of that or what that is all about, but it gives you kind of an insight into the criminal justice system front and center. And they will talk to us a little bit about why they decided that this was important to create. And more importantly, how you can be involved in it as well. But first things first, on this 15th day of the month, if you were born today and or you had a birthday this weekend or have one this week, this is your time of show because this is where we give the shout outs. Because nobody does it like we do it here. We celebrate you because we appreciate you. And Lola's already stepping up to the plate. I already got the chair moving in position in terms of all of that. But before we do anything, we have to say, hit it, Bren. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthdays going out to the following. Jared Price, celebrating his birthday today. Happy birthday. Audra Melvin, close family friend. Happy birthday, Audra, to you on this day. Happy birthday to Tina Lee Murchison. Nicole Simpson celebrating a birthday. as is Jai Harris, Pamela Barlow celebrating today. Happy birthday, Freddie Mac. Happy birthday, Eric Garrison. And Jacqueline Reed Wright. Lola.
A happy birthday to my niece, Amber, whose birthday was on the 10th. Also, a happy birthday to my good friend, D to the J, and Adam Tack, whose birthdays were on the 11th. And the grandest, happiest birthday to my very own daughter, Addison Carruthers, whose birthday was on yesterday. She is 19.
Happy Addison! Happy Addison. Birthday to Addison. That baby girl, she's it. Go ahead.
And she shares that birthday with her cousin, Harold Carruthers.
Oh, okay. It's a family thing.
It's a family thing, the Carruthers family.
Well, listen, you tell Addison that Uncle Chip says it's a happy birthday.
Will do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lola. And ladies and gentlemen, all of you celebrating out there, we hope that your day has been filled with fun and laughter. And we hope to be with you next year as you take your next trip around the sun. Thank you, Bryn. All right, some quick news and notes here before we get into the broadcast tonight. Many of us are aware of the tragedy that happened last Friday morning in our city when a Memphis police officer and an 18-year-old are now dead after an exchange of gunfire that wounded two other police officers and a 17-year-old as well. Now, the 18 and the 17-year-old were both suspects in this. The 17-year-old is still in the hospital as we speak. The 18-year-old, unfortunately, did not survive his injuries. The officer that was killed was identified as Joseph McKinney, age 27. He was a father of a 4-year-old daughter, and he had a fiance. The suspect, the 18-year-old Jalen Lobley, was arrested. He was the one that died in all of this. It turns out that he had been arrested and released from jail about a month ago on some rather serious gun charges and theft of auto and having a switch in his car, which basically changes a semi-automatic gun to an automatic rifle. The city is grieving now. Any loss of life is a big deal. Our hearts and our sincere condolences go out to the McKinney family, of course, and the Memphis Police Department and all those who knew him. And also we pray for the family of Jalen Lobley, who, of course, died in this incident as well. Any loss of life is a bad thing, and we extend our deepest condolences to those individuals and all those who have been affected by this. Cleotha Apston. Now, if that name sounds familiar, he was the individual accused of raping a woman in 2021 before he allegedly abducted and killed Eliza Fletcher, the jogger, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Well, he was found guilty of rape and aggravated kidnapping in the rape of Alicia Franklin. Now, this happened actually before the Eliza situation, in terms of the Eliza Fletcher situation. It happened before, but he was sentenced in that case on Friday. Sad news coming out of Wynn, Arkansas. One man is dead, and at least 9 people were injured after a shooting at a block party in Wynn, Arkansas. That happened about 10 o'clock on Saturday evening. Shots were fired at a block party near the corner of Williams Avenue and Martin Luther King Street. The Arkansas State Police identified the deceased as 27-year-old Wynn resident Varian Campbell. We don't have any arrest in that case as of yet. But once again, we extend our deepest condolences and sympathies to all of those who were affected in this particular situation. And we pray that those wounded individuals will recover, won't have too many issues after all of this. It's tough out here, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, we say it all the time and we know it. It is something that none of us can act like we can ignore. Crime is a big problem in our city. It is a big concern in our city. And after every tragic event, that we need to put these guns down. And we need to find a better way to try to fix what is absolutely most definitely broken in our city. And we need help from the legislature, which I'm not surprised to say hadn't done a whole lot in terms of all of this, this particular session, which is about to end. And I said it and I meant it. But in the meantime, we have to continue to pray, watch over ourselves, and watch over each other each and every day. So for the Memphis Grizzlies, the basketball season is officially come to an end. That happened yesterday, of course, the end of traditional basketball season before the play-ins and playoffs start. The Grizzlies played the Denver Nuggets yesterday, and they lost. But I will say one thing. The crowd showed up and showed out, man. It was a big crowd out there yesterday. So, you know what? In spite of a bad season full of injuries and a lot of other situations, the Grizzlies are done now. And, of course, Ja is continuing to heal from his shoulder surgery. And so, hopefully, by October, as we get ready for another season, we'll be fired up and ready to go. That is a quick look at news and notes. We'll take our first break of the night. And when we come back, let's get into it. What do you say? We'll start the broadcast off. And we're glad you're here. I see Patricia Harris is online tonight. This is Facebook Live, folks. Michael Harris is there as well. Sonia Israel, good to see you. And I hope that the rest of you out there join us as well. It is Monday. It is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. You know who you are. Our first break of the night. We'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Support for WYXR comes from Cordelia's Market. The second annual Blooms, Birds, and Brews is happening Saturday, April 27th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. A celebration of the changing of the seasons with local food, beer vendors, environmental education, plant sales, and more. Located at 737 Harbor Bend and open to the public. More information at cordeliasmarket.com. Support for WYXR comes from Trezvent. Located in the heart of Memphis at 177 North Highland, Trezvent is where culture and community come together, offering independent living apartments and garden homes ranging from 650 to 3,000 square feet, as well as all levels of care in assisted living, memory support, and a five-star health and rehab center. More information to schedule a tour at trezventmanor.org.
Located on the second floor of the Crosstown Concourse, the Memphis Listening Lab is a curated collection of music and music history that is open to the public 6 days a week. Vinyl Happy Hour happens every Friday between 3 and 5 p.m., where guest DJs from around the community will spin some of their favorite records. More information and a complete listing of upcoming events at memphislisteninglab.org.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening. Chip with you. Very happy to have you with us wherever you are. And we're also very happy to have our first guest with us. You know, Memphis is big business. And, of course, big business is Memphis. And, of course, we always enjoy, you know, that in this city. The city has progressed in so many ways and continues to do so. You know, we're happy to have the man who kind of oversees all of this, the economic development of our city. We've never had him on the show before. I'm really happy to have him. Ted Townsend as the president and CEO of the Greater Memphis Chamber. And Ted, it is great to see you. Great to have you on Real Talk Memphis. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Chip. It's an honor to be here for my first appearance. And looking forward to some real talk.
Absolutely, my friend. And thank you so much. You know, Ted, I've always thought that anytime you see a lot of construction, and a lot of cranes and a lot of detour signs and things going on, that to me is a sign of progress. And I travel down to downtown Memphis every day. And so I see that, and I'm in that every day. That, to me, signals a sign of progress. What about you?
It does, absolutely. We love to see cranes that are dotting our skyline because it does mean that investment is underway. And whether that is the two towers coming up right now at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and their campus expansion, to the Memphis Art Museum, formerly known as the Brooks, to residential projects that also have cranes attached to them. And now you have 100 North Main that is nearing a major construction phase where I believe I saw the makings of another crane that will dot our skyline. So it's certainly encouraging, and we certainly want to see that across all of Memphis and Shelby County.
You know, and absolutely that. And you're right. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of activity happening. Now, many of us in this city, having to deal with the reality of crime in our city. We're no stranger to that here. I mean, it's happening everywhere, but we live here. It is an issue here in terms of how we deal with it, how we address it, and more importantly, how it can affect us in the future. Now, you, along with several major corporations and businesses in your chairman's circle, wrote a letter to the state legislature last year expressing your thoughts and concerns. Tell me what the message was behind that.
So I'll take you back to a lot of conversations that I had in my first year as president and CEO. I got out and met with every one of our investors and other small business owners as well to really get a sense of what they were looking for in a chamber. But I can tell you every one of those conversations centered on concerns over public safety. Mm-hmm. And I quickly surmised that the chamber had a role, had a responsibility to lift their voices and create pressure and support to all officials that are responsible for our community's public safety. Look, these companies made it very clear. Safety for their employees and safety of their properties was paramount. And we wanted to wage an effort that was very thoughtful, very intentional, to garner the attention, certainly starting with policymakers in Nashville. The letter that we wrote from the Chairman's Circle, as you mentioned, the Chairman's Circle is a group of 180 plus businesses, and they invest in the work of the chamber. Mm-hmm. And the letter was addressed to Governor Lee, as well as leadership within the House and the Senate. And I hand delivered that letter because I wanted that to be a symbolic gesture of how important this is. I went at the very beginning of the Tennessee General Assembly session, and we've continued to do that. Look, we call it Them to Nash, right? This is our annual visit to Nashville where we take business leaders. We had our largest delegation ever, Chip, and public safety was on the minds of each and every one of them. And so we want and expect that our policymakers in Nashville and here locally will become partners in that process to Memphis in creating a safer Memphis in Shelby County. We want their co-investment. We are certainly investing in the apparatus of public safety, but I think it's fair to expect that from the state as well. So our letter framed out some of the priorities. Mind you, it's not exhaustive because this is highly complex. Mm-hmm. We understand that there are a lot of things that need to happen to ensure public safety at the full spectrum.
Sure.
From focusing on poverty, which is a precursor to a lot of this, right? Mm-hmm. And then addressing when we do have repeat violent offenders and how can we create a safer community for all of us and better pathways and better choices for people that are facing challenges.
You know, you mentioned that, you know, obviously there has to be a buy-in between what is happening in the State House and what is happening down here in Memphis and Shelby County. There has seemed, at least in my humble opinion, there seemed to be a disconnect between what is happening up there and some of the laws and legislation that is coming down, you know, and it doesn't seem to be in a positive way in our direction. You are over an organization, as you said, there are probably, and I don't know, there are probably many projects or many individuals that you talk to on a daily, weekly basis, or organizations, companies, businesses who are looking to Memphis, you know, to come here to set up shop. And for you, this has really got to be a critical issue. Am I correct in that?
You are absolutely correct. And here's what's important. These are the stakes. And a lot of people don't realize what we have under management any given day here at the chamber. What I mean by that, projects. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that word. We consider these business attraction opportunities. Right now, we have 42 shots on goal. We have 42 chances of getting this right and convincing companies to invest and create jobs here. That means all 42 of those projects equates to nearly 17,000 new jobs.
Oh, wow.
Backed by $9 billion of private sector capital. We want to win all of those. Mm. Will we? No. But the fact is, these are high quality jobs now, Chip. I mean, we're seeing the shift to advanced manufacturing and advanced industries. The average wage for these jobs that we're fighting every day to win is almost $53,000.
Wow.
I mean, that will change lives. A household overnight.
Yeah.
So we want to win those, but these companies are wanting to know, what are you doing to increase public safety? What are you doing to ensure us that when we put this investment here, and that's a lot of capital, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we de-risk that? How can we assure them that they're going to have a world-class workforce and a safe environment for their families to thrive? And so it's one of those things that we have to weave into the positivity of the narrative that we're putting out there. And I don't stay mired in the challenges. I focus on solutions. Our business leadership and the business community focuses on solutions. And I'm now able to tell them what we're doing. The business community is playing an active role. We're convening these officials and we're talking about what their challenges are, what their plans are, so that the business community can plug into it, if possible. And that's a totally different posture and a position that we've ever seen before, I think. And it's really because of this hyper focus on crime in our community. And mind you, I welcome the loud voices from business leadership here, because if they were quiet and silent to this and resigned to the current or past situation of crime, then they will speak with their investment and they will leave. But if they are actively engaged, it means they care. They want to continue to double down and invest and create jobs here, and we want to foster that.
And, you know, that's inclusion. And I'm listening to you talk about all of this, and you're reaching out. You're being proactive. You're not being reactive with a lot of people. You know, what a lot of people do, they react when somebody comes at them. But you're saying, listen, you know, we want your voices. We need your voices. We need to hear of your concern. If you're concerned, and there are concerns out here, we need to hear your concerns so we can pass along those concerns to those who might be able to change it. Am I on the right track with that?
You are absolutely on the right track. We have to be proactive. We have to reach out to all audiences that have a responsibility to this. And mind you, the business community understands what our responsibility and role is in this. But we want to continue to hold everyone accountable, including ourselves, to all partner on this and focus on what we can do together. We're not always going to agree. There are going to be, you know, the sides of all of these issues, but we need to focus on the middle. And what are the commonalities that we can all agree to that we have to address?
Mm-hmm.
And let's go get those done, and let's stack some wins on top of another. And that, again, adds to the narrative that I'm putting out there to these companies that are, you know, they're looking. I mean, we're in the final stages of several of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize that at any given moment, we have visitors here that are considering us. And we want to show them who we truly are as a community. Those headlines They don't define who we are. They change us, but they don't define us. And that, I think, has been a messaging platform that's really resonated. And we've been able to show them and tell them, hey, this is what we're doing. And you're joining this constellation of an active, engaged business community that expects a safer Memphis.
They change us. They don't define us. I really like that. That speaks volumes. You know, we have a new mayor, and he is a very enthusiastic fellow, to say the least. And I know he is pro-business, and I know that you've had many conversations with him. It is a good thing when everyone is of one accord and on the same page, trying to be focused on the same direction, which is moving Memphis forward. And it sounds like you're pretty determined in trying to make that happen.
We are very determined, and we have already communicated to Mayor Young that we are supportive of him and what he is attempting to do in his new administration with respect to public safety. Look, I would much rather have Mayor Young at a podium talking about a business win than talking about the tragedies in our community. And we've had that far too often. Mm. And those are going to happen. And we have to be attentive to those and sensitive and you know, really provide that outreach. But again, I feel that there's so much opportunity. If we can get this fixed, Chip, I believe that we, based on what we see and hear from companies and site selection consultants, Memphis is right now the next great investment opportunity in the country.
All right.
And we want to seize the day on that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not hyperbole. I've done this a long time, and I know I was in Nashville as deputy commissioner for economic development during its explosion.
Mm-hmm.
We have by far the same, if not more, key ingredients that Nashville had at that time for Memphis to have that same level of success. So we are going to continue to work with Mayor Young. I mean, this is a guy, mind you, on election night that runs out to who run it. I mean, that's who we all, that's
yes.
the mentality we should have
that's
right
true.
Now.
That's
we
very true.
We run it.
Yeah.
We run it together.
Yeah.
And we believe in our Memphis, and we're going to continue to passionately advocate for that.
Ted Townsend, President, CEO of the Greater Memphis Chamber of Change. You got me all fired up. Now I'm ready to roll now, man.
Let's go, Chip.
Let's get everybody's
in economic development. Everybody.
That's exactly right.
You and me, everybody. Yeah, let's go. Let's make it happen.
Man, listen, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to come visit with us tonight. Really appreciate it. And you're invited back anytime. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Ted Townsend, ladies and gentlemen, president and CEO of the Greater Memphis Chamber. Yeah, and, you know, we're all in this together, period, regardless of all of the challenges that we're facing. The bottom line is that, you know what, optimism has to reign or else we're not going to get anywhere. And we really appreciate him taking the time to be on the show tonight. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk to a couple of folks who are very interested in the criminal justice system. This is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest? Or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has been working behind the scenes for 60 years to support and amplify arts events, programs, and experiences that together make a more vibrant and accessible Memphis arts scene.
I'm Patrick Tamburino, host of the Technostrategist podcast. Join me as we navigate the ever-evolving world of IT managed services and beyond. We'll explore everything from selecting the ideal tech partner to the forefront of cutting-edge technologies, all infused with my own unique perspective and hopefully a touch of humor. Don't forget to tune in to the Technostrategist on the WYXR Podcast Network. For more information, head over to WYXR.org.
WYXR
WYXR doesn't go to sleep at night. We keep the music moving. Memphis music, that is. When our DJs clock out, our automation clocks in with music right from our community. Produced, performed, and written by Memphians, or in Memphis. Some are hits, and some are rarely heard, but they all tell the story of one of the world's greatest music cities. Visit WYXR.org for playlist and scheduling information. Email submissions at WYXR.org to let us hear your Memphis music. We may just play it.
Support for WYXR comes from Trezvent. Located in the heart of Memphis at 177 North Highland, Trezvent is where culture and community come together, offering independent living apartments and garden homes ranging from 650 to 3,000 square feet, as well as all levels of care in assisted living, memory support, and a five-star health and rehab center. More information to schedule a tour at trezventmanor.org.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
My goodness. All right, welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening. Chip Washington with you. So happy to have you. There's a lot of folks checking us out on live stream tonight. Myron Lowry and Denise Harden is checking us out. Diane Towns. Look at that. Nelia Dempsey is watching us. My boy GKP is online, as is Catherine King, J.W. Gibson, Dr. Jamel Major. The Dr. Jamel Major is checking us out. Thank you all for taking some time this evening. Rachel is online, too. Michael Harris. Yeah, you guys are the best. I really appreciate it. Okay. Do we have our folks online here? We had a couple of folks here that we wanted to talk to about something called the Memphis Crime Beat. And I saw one of them a minute ago. And her name is Leslie Taylor, and I don't see Leslie. She just disappeared on me here.
Oh,
hey, it's Leslie. I'm glad you're back. I was getting a little nervous there, but I'm glad to see you. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, you and your friend Norman Blake, and I don't know if Norman may be having some issues getting through to us. He's trying to get on through us on his iPhone, but we'll carry on the conversation. Now, you guys created something called the Memphis Crime Beat. Now, for the uninformed, Leslie, tell us what that is and what its function is.
Sure. So Memphis Crime Beat is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And Norman and I started it with the one goal of reducing crime in Memphis and making our city safe for all citizens.
So how do we go about doing that? What is the process involved in a Memphis Crime Beat?
Well, that is a great question. And I'll be honest with you, I am an engineer by training. And so when I approached the problem of crime, I looked at two things, data and best practices. Mm-hmm. And so our work has really been data driven. And one of the things that we've learned, unfortunately, is that the data, especially the data available to the public, isn't particularly high quality. So that's one of the things we're working on, is to encourage our elected leaders to improve the data and transparency in our city, because we can't measure where we need to go unless we know where we are.
Wow, that is a very strong statement that you make. And it really is, information is power. Like you said, if you're not equipped, then you can't move forward in this. I saw a story, a television story on you, which prompted my interest to try to reach out to you. And you go to various court cases, do you, throughout this, in some of the various courtrooms? Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, like most Memphians, we had been hearing about all of the problems in the court system. And we'd been hearing a variety of reports about what was going wrong. And I had also heard that there were several organizations that were going to start a court watch. And I said to myself, well, if one of those organizations starts a court watch, that would be great. But if nobody does by January 8th, I'm just going to start going down there to court and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that has grown into a group of volunteers. We now have about 20 that are volunteering their time to go and sit in court. Right now, we're just covering the state courts, but as we get more volunteers, we'll be able to expand into the general sessions courts and the bond hearing room. And they go down and sit in court and observe what's going on and report back to us.
So what is the end run here? What are you trying? You know, you said you're gathering information, you know, and data and everything else, which is something that most of us, you know, on the regular don't get privileged information in reference to all of that. But what do you hope to gain? Now, you say you have 20 volunteers that are doing this and you're trying to grow this thing, because interest in the criminal court system, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, Leslie, is on a very high level, especially with what we're seeing these days in that system. Am I correct in that?
You are exactly right. And I think, you know, with the issue with Officer McKinney, it has really come to a head and people are paying attention, which is great, because I like to remind people, the people running our justice system are our elected leaders, and that makes us their boss. And if we're not paying attention to the work that we're doing, we can't manage them effectively. Mm. So we really, especially right now when we're having problems, we've got to roll up our sleeves and pay attention to what's going on, because that's the only way that change is going to happen.
Yeah.
So we have three goals with our Court Watch program. The first is we want to provide citizens with information about how well their elected leaders are doing their jobs. Mm-hmm. The second is we want to identify bottlenecks, inefficiencies, problems in the system that are resulting in court delays or, you know, other problems in the court system, like the issues we're seeing with bond setting right now.
Yeah.
And then the third is to encourage citizens to be more active in their local community. So when a volunteer goes to court, they're definitely going to come home and talk to their family and friends about what they've seen. And those people will talk to other people, and people will just hopefully start being better informed about what's going on.
Is that the access to information, is that one of the most frustrating things? I mean, obviously dealing with this on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or however often it is, there has to be some frustration involved in all of this, because, I mean, you know, we see little snippets of it on the news. We hear about it and read little snippets in the newspaper. But to be in a courtroom when some of these active trials and cases are going on, I mean, there has to be, you know, some days where it is extraordinarily frustrating, because if it's frustrating for me just on the outside watching, I would imagine that might be a little higher for you actually being in the courtroom. In some courtrooms?
You're exactly right. Mm. Some days it is very frustrating.
Yeah.
And I know the issue of data is frustrating for a lot of organizations who are trying to figure out what's going on. And we just need to keep working at that. But, you know, one of the things I've learned is that data is as much of an issue of trust as it is anything else. So we're going to have a really hard time sharing data if the organizations that we want to share think that the data is going to be used against them.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons, you know, we're a nonpartisan group. We're not purple. We're not blue. We're not red. We just want to come in as a neutral party and observe what's going on and see if we can make recommendations to improve things. And there's some other groups doing similar work, but we felt like maybe they didn't come across as neutral as what we're trying to be. And we feel like if the organizations in Memphis feel like we're not out to get them or attack them, that we're just trying to help, that they might be more willing to share and work with us.
How important is it? I know this is a simple question, but it needs to be asked. How important is it for all of us or for people to really pay close attention to what the criminal justice arena is doing, and for people to become involved in this. And I'm going to ask you before you go, people want to know more about Memphis Crime Beat and how to get involved with that. You'll let them know in a minute. But really, from your perspective, and you, how long has this been going on now?
So I started the Court Watch January 8th. It just started as me first.
Right.
Had to go in myself for a while before I could figure out a system that other people could utilize.
Right.
And then Norman Blake and I started working together about 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we're relatively new.
Mm-hmm. So and having said that, how important it is it as you are finding, you know, as you do this on a daily, weekly basis, is it for people to really, for people to want to know what is going on, and to people, for people to want to get an understanding of so many of the questions that we have that we don't have answers to? How important is it for people to want to be involved in something like this crime beat that you're doing?
It's super important, and I wish that we lived in a world where everyone did their job the way that they should without oversight, but unfortunately, that's not reality. And again, these people are elected by us. We are their boss. We need to be paying attention to what they're doing. If we're not paying attention, we kind of only have ourselves to blame if things go off the rails. That said, you mentioned being frustrated. I do think Memphians get frustrated because the reality is everyone's busy with their own lives, raising kids, going to work, trying to pay the bills.
Sure.
And a lot of people can't go down to the court from 9 to 1. They can't go to city council meetings. They can't go to commission meetings because it's during business hours.
Yeah.
And when you feel powerless to do something, people tend to check out. So that's another thing we're trying to do, is to give people actionable things that they can do based on things that we've found.
Mm.
So if we come across an issue, we may come back to our citizens and say, hey, this is going on. If you feel strongly about this issue, here's the emails for all your city council representatives. Email them or email the commission. There are things that people can do even if they're going to work every day.
Amen to that. Before I let you go, if anybody is listening to this right now and is interested in finding out more information, please share that with us.
Yeah, so we don't have any requirements for our Court Watch volunteers other than that you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And our website is memphiscrimebeat.org, or you can email us at memphiscrimebeat@gmail.com, and we'll send you the information about being a Court Watch volunteer. I promise it will be very gratifying for you, and it will help your community.
Leslie Taylor. From Memphis Crime Beat. Listen, thank you for coming on the show tonight. This has been very interesting to me, and I'm hoping for our listening audience as well. Really appreciate you. And anytime you want to come back on the show, some things that have happened of particular interest to our community, you're more than welcome. Thank you for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a great night. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, in order to make change, you got to be about change, and getting involved is not a bad thing, actually. So we thank Leslie for being a part of the show. We're going to take our final break of the broadcast, and it's tax day, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I know, boo, hiss, boo, boo, boo. We are going to have someone on deck who is going to talk to us. He's a financial consultant. Talk to us a little bit about maybe some changes in the IRS this year, some things that we need to know, maybe some things that we don't need to know. On this Monday edition, great to see you all out there this evening. I hope that you've enjoyed the show so far. Hang on in there. We'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page, and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Stereo Sessions returns with Must Hear Memphis Records. Join us for the kickoff of our third season celebrating Memphis music with the Hellcats and their album, Hoodoo Train. Immerse yourself in the roots punk scene as we delve into the full album and host a conversation between the Hellcats, host Greg Cartwright, and historian Robert Gordon. Don't miss out. Mark your calendars for April 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Memphis Listening Lab. RSVP at WYXR.org/events.
Hey, I'm Will from Crosstown Brewing Company. We support WYXR 91.7 FM. A favorite beer is just like a favorite song. We feel something new every time we encounter them. Cheers to playing the hits and tasting the notes.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening. Chip with you. Glad you are with us. And as I alluded to at the beginning of the broadcast, today is April 15th, and we all know that is tax day. So, this is a public service announcement to have my next guest on the show. I'm to understand he's a Central Warrior. I think he probably knows what that is. But in any event, we're happy to welcome to the show Vincent C. Perry is a financial consultant. And Vincent, it's great to see you again, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. Good to see you as well.
Absolutely that. So, Denise Harden says, hello, Central Warrior. So you're a Central Warrior? Is that where you
are? I am indeed. So some of us like to refer to that as the high school. But anyway, another conversation.
I'm out of that discussion. I promise you that. Exactly. But listen, welcome to the show. So it is tax day. And of course, it's the day many of us dread now. It seems to me, from what I heard, on some other broadcast, a lot of folks go to the extension thing. You know, the extension. A lot of folks are not ready for this day, and depending on who you talk to, some people may say it's a good thing to file an extension so you don't feel so much pressure. Do you have a thought about that one way or another as a tax consultant?
Yeah, so I am a financial professional. Been with Ameriprise for 26 years, and we don't give specific tax advice, but we work very closely with our clients and prospective clients, tax professionals. And so we always recommend folks who listen reach out to a tax professional. As it relates to extensions, one of the things that people can do if they are not ready, if they don't have their forms together or documents that they need, they can file an extension, but that doesn't give them an extension to pay. So it just gives them an extension to file. So that is a key distinction that you want to be aware of.
It's a big point there that you just made. Are there anything new or anything in particular that that many of us may not know or be aware of that we should be aware of when this time of year rolls around?
Great question, Chip. So one of the things that, we recommend that folks be aware of is their tax bracket. And so, here in the United States, the U.S. has this so-called progressive tax system where, the more money you make, typically the more you have to pay.
Sure.
And so, there are seven brackets. And, depending on your filing status and how much money you make, you certainly want to be aware of what bracket that you are in. Mm. And then another thing, people want to be aware of is this, what we call interest-free loan to the government. A lot of people like to get that big refund when they file. But the thing about it is, the government has taken money out of our income, out of our paycheck throughout the year. And then when we file, the government returns a portion of that to us, but with no interest. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is, we tell people, listen, go to the IRS.gov site. They have a withholding estimator to allow you to play around with your particular filing status to see how close you can get to zero. You don't want to overpay, but you also don't want to underpay as well.
Right.
And so if you find that you need to make some changes, you can always file a W-4 form, give that to your employer to make any changes so you don't over or under withhold to avoid that interest-free loan to the government.
Now, I don't know whether or not you can answer this question, but there seems to be, and this is just a general governmental question about the IRS and the way they do, how they do, what they do. And, you know, you've heard everybody from the president right on down to the politicians talking about changing this system or even eliminating this system. Now, you know, I know you've been in the financial game for a long time, but do you honestly see something like that? Could you see something like that happening? Because it's been more and more of a conversation every single year about, you know, changing the system, eliminating the system, doing some. I don't know that you can eliminate it, but I mean, do you see a potential for something like that to happen down the road?
Yeah. There has been quite a bit of talk about making changes to the system. And I was just thinking the other day, it's like, I'm not quite certain what our friends in Congress would do if they want to make the system more complicated than what it already is.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing. But the problem that we run into is that you have all these competing interests. You have, you know, political action committees, these so-called PACs, and the special interests. And, you know, all of these organizations, you know, they want to get their special interests in there. And, you know, and the tax system really is designed to incentivize us to do things and provide disincentive not to do things as well. So there is a possibility. I don't foresee it in the foreseeable future, to be honest with you, because of all those special interests and lobbyists involved, to be honest with you.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that is more in line with your wheelhouse, and that is financial security for so many people and saving. You know, if you were talking to a high school person or someone in college, just graduated college in their early 20s, you know, out there working, doing their things, how early is too early to start saving? Or is there a too early to actually start putting a little money away here and there for that inevitable rainy day that comes to all of us?
There is never too early to start. You know, as a matter of fact, some parents and grandparents will start a college plan for their children or grandchildren at birth. As soon as there's a Social Security number, they'll start planning. So it's never too early to start. So, but even regardless of your age, Chip, you know, what I like to do, especially around taxes, and that's the subject of our conversation tonight, mm-hmm. is I want people to understand this concept. And we use a diagram, and it's centered around a triangle, and it's called the tax control triangle. And in this diagram, there are several, you know, there are different investments. And we want to understand the implications behind investing our money as well as taking our money out.
Okay.
And so depending on the type of investment, it may be taxed now, tax later, or tax never. And so investments that are taxed now are like mutual funds and stocks. You know, income is taxed when we receive it, typically in the year we receive it.
Right.
Tax later will be things like 401ks, traditional IRAs, and thrift savings plans, we know where we've contributed and that has reduced our taxable income. But when we take money out down the road in retirement, typically we're going to pay tax when we take our money out. So mm-hmm. that's tax later. Mm-hmm. And then tax never will be things like contributions to a Roth IRA or cash value life plans or 529 plans for children. If we jump through a few hoops, we may never pay tax on those investments. So that's tax later. And so the tax control triangle really is all about, you know, we have no idea what our friends in Congress are going to do around taxes.
Right.
If they raise tax rates down the road, well, you can take it from the tax-free investments. If they lower taxes for some strange unknown reason, you can take it from the tax now bucket, if you will.
Wow, that even sounded a little complicated.
it can be. Taxes can be, for sure.
Yeah. It is something that we all have to deal with. I mean, you know, they say two things are inevitable: death and taxes. And I guess that goes by what you're saying. But in terms of, you know, but during the year when we know from an income perspective, last question, we should be able to, that we know that we're probably, based on our income and based on past history, that we may have to pay, you know, the government back. Not a bad idea to put a little bit away just in case. I mean, that inevitability becomes reality.
I think that's a great idea, whether it's some type of cash account that you're contributing to on a regular basis. For those who are business owners, you know, go ahead and do those quarterly estimated taxes, to pay a little bit every quarter based upon your projected tax liability. Mm-hmm. And then even if you're not a business owner, you know, set aside a certain amount every pay period in an account that's going to gain interest.
Yeah.
So to that inevitability that you alluded to, when tax man comes knocking at your door, you have money readily available so you can pay it.
Well, listen, Vincent, it's always good to talk to you and to hear from you, and because you always provide us with something to think about and some good information, even on this tax day. I still like you. You're still my guy. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate you, man.
I'm glad to be here, Chip. And folks who are listening, they feel free to go to my website, vincent-perry.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's a wealth of information around taxes and investing and other things that they may find useful as well. So,
Vincent C. Perry, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Vincent, for coming on the show. Best of luck to you down the road, and we'll be talking down the road. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chip. All the best.
Yes, sir. You too. All right. That's going to put a wrap on it, ladies and gentlemen. What a great show. Time always seems to fly by when you're gathering great guests along with great information. We appreciate all this. Brent plays us out of here. So listen, thank you for joining us this evening. I hope you enjoyed the show. A lot of folks on Facebook Live line tonight. I always appreciate you. You know that. And listen, if you like what we do, if you like what we're talking about, if you like the guests we have, go out and tell somebody about Real Talk Memphis. We're here for a reason, and that reason is you. Thank you all for supporting this broadcast, and just hanging with us. We really appreciate it. So for all of us here at Real Talk Memphis, for Brand, for Nicole, for lovely Lola, there she is, ladies and gentlemen, and for yours truly. Thank you for being with us. I'm Chip, and we are out. See you next week. It's real talk. It's real talk. It's real.